Oh, good morning, everybody. Mic's on. I'd like to welcome everybody to the City of Morro Bay. Today is our regular meeting, Tuesday, February 9th, for the Tourism Bureau Improvement District. It is 9:01 for the record. We are located at February 11th. Oh, yeah, we are February 11th. I was reading this. I'm reading, so I won't read. I'll go off my brain. For the record, I'll establish that we have Jane Beeman, Aaron Graves, myself, and Taylor Newton. Charlie Yates will hopefully be attending. Hopefully he's just running late, but we did want to get the meeting starting. And I will go ahead and open it up for public comment. What's weird is look.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Sean Farmer. I own Farmer's Kites and Surreys down the Embarcadero. I'm here today to talk to you about the 10th Annual Morro Bay Kite Festival. I don't know if you all got a copy of the letter or not that I sent to Brent. So this year we'd like to get a little help and maybe make the Kite Festival more self-sufficient, where we can maybe raise some money rather than have to come back to you every year to put on the Kite Festival. And by doing that, I think if we hire an event coordinator, she's got some ideas to help fund the Kite Festival, like, say, rather than coming back and seeing you every year. And my goal is to get somebody to take over the Kite Festival and maybe just be in charge of getting the talent here rather than the whole show. Been doing this for 10 years, and kind of like the 4th of July people, I'm getting burned out. But I still think this is an awesome event, and I think that it should be funded. I'd like to see it grow. I honestly believe that if this Kite Festival had the right people in place, that this could be Morro Bay's premier event. So hopefully you'll fund it, and we will have our 10th Kite Festival. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jane Beeman, and I'm making a public comment on behalf of three hoteliers that actually emailed me and who want to remain anonymous. Why, I don't know. But they requested that the board be assigned, each board member be assigned 3 to 5 hoteliers, because they don't know what's going on and they would like to have their vote counted because we represent them. In fact, one of them even said it's taxation without representation. So they want to ensure that you know that when you vote, it's just not your vote, it's also the hotels we represent. So I'm just putting it out there, and hopefully we can put that on an agenda and get that assigned and done for next time.
Thank you, Jane.
Hey, good morning, folks. Ken Vesterfeld, resident Morro Bay, representing the Cruisin' Morro Bay Car Show. This is our 20th show this year, and I've been with the group for 19 of those. And it's quite an event, I think. If it's not, it's in one of the top things in Morro Bay that produces a lot of great times for people. Some of the people start coming in on that Sunday before and stay through Monday morning. And then on Tuesday we have more. Out of the 560 registrants last year, on the Thursday evening when we have people come in and register, we had 234 registrants come in and register on Thursday evening. Keeping in mind that it's only about 12% are coming from the county of San Luis Obispo for that event, so we know that they're in town. So we're here to request to see if we can get some funding, as you have in the last 2 years. It has really helped us out. Matter of fact, we were able to donate some funds to the city high school mechanic class, in which they were very, very appreciative of doing that. So if you can see in the forecast here to give us some funds, we truly would appreciate it. It is most put to a good, very, very good use, and we just appreciate it ever so much. And we did a survey here a few years ago in the hard times, and approximately $1,000 per car entrant is spent in the city, if you count all the way back when they start coming in on Sunday and all the way through. So we appreciate your support if you can do that. Have a good meeting, and I agree with Sean there. The Kite Festival is a pretty good couple-day event here for this town, and it's free to the public, and so you have to raise funds for that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ken.
Good morning. It's so nice to be on this side. I have to say, you guys all look great. You're super sunny and happy, and I'm Joan Solu, and happy Valentine's Day, by the way. Okay, so I just want to talk to you. I am a hotel owner here in Morro Bay, making an investment in my hotel right now, remodeling with, I know there's several other hotels going through remodeling, so that's great for the city and for our hotel community. I want to speak to you a little bit about your budget today. In an apples-to-apples comparison of staffing for this current fiscal year versus the future fiscal year as proposed on the budget, there's about a $43,000 increase in wages and benefits. Apples to apples, you have an executive director full-time right now, a contracted sales manager, part-time hospitality coordinator, and a part-time administration. Looks like the budget is adding the hospitality coordinator to be a full-time person next year, so that is where some of your increase is coming in. I do know that it was a goal of the Bureau to be able to supply a healthy benefits package in the future. We were a startup, so we didn't really have benefits costs. So, of course, the benefits costs are going to grow a bit. It looks like next year there's going to be a full-time ED, a contracted salesperson, a full-time hospitality coordinator, and the part-time admin with an increase. No admin, sorry. I'm getting a no admin head shake from two staff folks over there. So, okay, so there is an apples to apples, but it's $43,000 higher. I just like you to look at the general fund allocation that's coming in. It's difficult to say whether that additional funding is a great value or not when you don't have job descriptions. So the first thing I'd like to see the board do is go back to staff and say, please help us develop job descriptions for all these positions with allocated time of the new duties that include economic development, the community-wide branding, and some of the responsibilities that are going to be coming in from the city. Once you have those, you'll be able to apportion wages out using some of the general fund money. You might want to set aside about $20,000 of that in this current budget to go towards those wages and look at a future policy of maybe a third of the funding coming from the general fund and the other two-thirds coming from the bid funds to compress the hotels. Further, I'd like to see you have a quarterly budget review rather than just a mid-year budget review, and that would include allocations of funds into separate accounts and deposits for different measures that you'd like to take up, like advertising or events. I'd like to see a very, very healthy, robust budget for event funding, especially since most of our events are low-cost visitor-serving in this community, meaning they're free. Okay, so please support the car show and your kite festival. And then I'd like to see you look at booking.com, moving out of Jackrabbit, which is a $30,000 expense. You could move to booking.com for free, and you could take that $30,000 and for the smaller properties, which would be affected through the commission structure, you could do a commission rebate and still come in at a lower rate than that $30,000 and compress with advertising dollars. Other than that, I really would like to see a comprehensive job description for all the staff. And don't forget that booking.com opens us up into those European markets. It's a worldwide distribution where Jackrabbit is extremely limited. Thank you. Have a good meeting.
Thanks.
Hello, my name is Taylor Newton, citizen of Morro Bay, business owner. I'm here today because I wanted to comment and present to you this packet that I'd like to see go on the agenda for the next meeting for approval. Each of you has it in front of you. It's on the Maritime Museum, and it's a huge project that has giant potential for marketing and fundraising. There's many layers to this, as you can see, so let me just give you my quick pitch. Let's see, September 28th, 1542, the San Salvador was the first European vessel to sail along the Southern California coast, and as such, it is the origin symbol ship for San Diego, much as the Mayflower was the origin symbol ship of New England. This ship has been recreated by the San Diego Maritime Museum, and we are proposing for that ship to come here to Morro Bay and be part of our Maritime Museum, and this packet breaks it all down for you, and it would be a great way to raise funds to build the first building for the Maritime Museum, and it would be a great way to have a multi-day event in Morro Bay based on this ship being here. And the ship will be coming from Old Town Sacramento. It'll be coming here, which gives you not only San Diego market, but also the Sacramento market. And it's brand new. It's the newest tall ship on the coast, as well as the oldest tall ship on the coast. So read the packet, and I would love to see us on the agenda for next meeting for us to approve this. Thank you.
Any further public comment? Okay, seeing no further public comment, I'll go ahead and close public comment. So all with public comment, so a lot of these are events and funding stuff that we can't act on necessarily. So I would assume we can put them on future agendas, or I think we're talking about budget later, so maybe we'll solve some of the event things in our budget discussion later. Does that seem like about the best? Okay, because I know we can't do anything on public comment. So I thank you guys, and I will just personally say it's great to see all the events out. We know what a huge, how much the events impact the entire city of Morro Bay. So I definitely say that I think we can make this all work. We just have to get through the fine-tuning of how we logistically do all of that. So
just one quick question. Do we still have to obviously fill out a form and et cetera?
We're going to talk about that in our budget because it is a little different this year. So I would probably say hang on to that. I'd hate for you to fill out all that paperwork and then we do something different. But I know that today we're going to talk about events in our budget because I know every year it's been a little different. And I know I know we will support those events. It's just a matter of how logistically we go about doing it.
Thank you.
And we know, I think everybody up on the board knows how important events are to the whole community. So we just have to figure out the logistics of getting it. But we're here for you, so we'll get it figured out.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for all your hard work, guys. Okay, so to keep us online, next we move into, since there's no further public comment, we'll move into nomination and election of members for chairperson and vice chairperson. We need to, per our bylaws, choose a chair and vice chair. I'll look at Sam, who's grabbing the...
Yeah, just for parliamentary procedure. So the procedure is anyone can nominate anybody else. You do not need a second for a nomination. Someone can decline a nomination, but from there you're good to vote. No seconds needed. And for clarification, they do need to be hoteliers per the current bylaws.
Okay, so...
So then I would like to nominate Michelle to be the chairwoman.
Chair. Okay. I will do it through the transition. I can't do it long term, but I do think for consistency with moving over to the city right now, consistency is important through this transition. I've already been working with everybody. I've got a trillion things on my plate right now, so it has been a lot. So I won't lie. I don't know if I'll be able to commit for long term, but I will commit to short term. So I'll just, being that said, I will accept it for the short term.
And I nominate Aaron for vice chair.
Aaron, no second needed, so will you accept vice chair? Otherwise, I'd be seconding. It's an easy job, vice chair, but you're going to have to work a little harder than some vice chairs because I've got a lot. We already talked about this at a meeting. Yes. If I gave you my laundry list, it looks a little longer than yours. Will you accept?
I would be honored to accept the nomination.
Okay. So, looks like we have a motion on the table for myself, Michelle Hawkes, to... Do we have to have we vote then?
Yeah, no motion needed. You just have two nominations. All those in favor of the nominations.
Okay. So, all those in favor of the nominations... Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Okay. So motion carries. We should have almost thrown Charlie under the bus.
would you like to wait for him?
No, I'm just kidding. We did it, but I'm just saying Charlie's lucky he didn't show up. Yeah, okay. He'll take my chairship next. Okay, approval of the minutes, December 10th. Did everybody read the approval of minutes? I'll look for a motion.
Yes, I read the minutes, and I would motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting.
Second.
If we can clarify, that's for December 10th's TBID meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from December 10th's TBID meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Motion carries. And now we will move on to the approval minutes for the January 28th Tourism Bureau Improvement District Advisory Board special meeting.
I will make a motion to approve the meetings from the January 28th TBID meeting.
I second.
All approved?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Okay. Minutes are approved. Okay, now we will go through approval of the 2016 meeting schedule and recommendation to City Council for bylaw change to accommodate our monthly meeting. So since we are going to a TBID, right now the bylaws state we have a quarterly. I would like to recommend that we do monthly meetings, especially through the transition. So we would want to adjust the bylaws to state that we have a monthly TBID meeting. So I'll be looking for a motion for that.
I make a motion that we adjust the bylaws to accommodate a monthly TBID meeting.
For quick clarification before there's a second, that way it could be modified. You probably want to say that it's the second or third Tuesday or Thursday of whatever and all that, just so we have that strictly on the schedule. So whatever you commonly do,
second
probably want to say that as part of the motion.
Month. Which is the second Thursday of every month.
At 9 a.m.
At 9 a.m.
I'll look for a second.
I second that motion.
Okay. All in favor?
I have discussion.
Okay. Or discussion, sorry.
Okay. Why do we have to change the bylaws? We can call a meeting whenever we want, can't we?
The bylaws currently of the TBID state that you'll have quarterly TBID meetings. It is correct that you can call a special meeting when you would like to. But there's additional process that goes along with calling a special meeting. It's simpler to basically grab the schedule that you have for the Tourism Bureau right now that's monthly. Because in essence, what the TBID's going to be doing is the Bureau's work, so we might as well mirror that going forward. It's just about creating a smooth transition.
So the thing is, but after the transition, I mean, when we're an advisory board, simply, and we're just, you're reporting to us, and we're just saying great, because especially if we're only doing quarterly budgets, then we have to do another bylaw change to go back to quarterly.
We can cancel a meeting at any time.
Correct. You could cancel a meeting.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
And as staff too, it's like I think it's really important to have monthly instead of quarterly, because there's a lot of business that actually happens on a regular basis, and only doing quarterly meetings might not be effective in making recommendations and helping with the overall picture for the TBID.
Jane, you are right, though, that a lot of the work will come directly from staff now, but it will be based on the work you do, especially this meeting today is a very important one for your goals and objectives and for your budget, which you'll be recommending to council. Once that's adopted, staff will be up and running. But it's not a bad thing to ensure that we have a monthly meeting so that information is provided to the hotelier community. And just to be clear, regarding your public comment, I mean, this is the place where we have those discussions about what's going on behalf of the stakeholders. So I think it is valuable probably to have those monthly meetings. We just want to keep that communication enhanced.
And I would advocate that after the transition, we continue to maintain the monthly meeting in the bylaws. It seems like a solid line of communication, and this industry is so fluid, it's changing. Waiting an entire quarter is an eternity at times.
Yeah, because then by the time you implement
something. I think with the motion, it was just made for just change it to monthly and
yeah.
Via Candias, and so let's go.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None. Okay. Motion carries through 4-0. Okay, so we will move to the monthly meetings, which is pretty much what we're doing now. It's just more of a housekeeping issue. Okay, report on transition of tourism and marketing to direct city management. I will go ahead and turn this over to Brent and Sam, and they can kind of update us on where we're at with the transition of moving over from Bureau to TBID.
Yes. That was really loud. Sorry about that. Yes, we had some initial, we had two transition meetings discussing, what is going to specifically happen from now until the end of this fiscal year. And so some of the conversations that we had based on the office actually moving, so we're looking at actually moving the offices over at 695 Harbor Street before the by the end of April, because we're looking at potentially doing an event that would actually help celebrate National Travel and Tourism Week. So since we would be all under one roof with the Chamber of Commerce as well as the Visitor Center, it's a way in how we can celebrate the change. And so we are looking at doing that. We also discussed right now we have proposed the staffing model to the city, and the city is actually still reviewing that. We're waiting to hear back on that. We know that council and administration have had a lot of big decisions actually happened recently with City Council. So we're patiently waiting, but Sam, Michelle, and I are going to continue on with the transition meetings and just make sure that it is a smooth transition from Bureau and under the city umbrella. We just really don't want to see any gaps happen. So very, very excited about that. I think the biggest one, too, was the recommendation that you made to City Council for the marketing and PR firm that was actually finalized at Tuesday night council meeting. So a lot of accommodations to the TBID Advisory Board for helping with the process and having the engagement with City Council. So we're very, very excited about that and kind of moving forward and putting together the plan for the 16-17 year. So again, we really don't want to see any gaps in during this transition time, and we want to keep business moving and rolling forward. So anything you want to add, Sam?
Sure. I think we're doing a really good job. We've had some great positive meetings. I've really appreciated working with the chairperson and Brent so far. Regarding the staffing, obviously part of the big discussion there is regarding whether they're contractors or employees. And we've had some initial discussions about what works best. The direction I was given from the city manager was, let's not just make a decision on our own. Let's get some feedback first. We've obviously heard from the hotelier community earlier, and so we got a lot of great feedback on that. Honestly, for both things, we heard from Visit Slo County, and now we've heard from staff directly and the chairperson. And so we're taking all that into account, and we're trying to make that decision to see what is the best moving forward as we make this transition. So hoping by this week or next week, we'll be able to finalize that and probably get something in writing to staff over there to explain, here's the offer, here's what we're thinking about doing. In that regard, I want to mention, we'll talk about it more in the budget, but obviously there's a line item budget you're going to see today, and there's specific funds related to that. Some of them call out employees, some of them call out contractor, and since we don't know exactly what's going to happen yet, you're probably going to mainly adopt the more general expenses and revenues aspect and allow us the flexibility and the recommendation to say, well, here's what the city manager's decision is on staffing, because it might be more contractor, it might be more employee, we don't know yet. We're working through that. So great discussion so far. It's been really, really positive, and I think we're excited to just move forward and make sure that there is no gap on behalf of the stakeholders and the community.
Sam, if you don't mind me asking, I'm just curious, what was Visit Slo County's recommendation on a staffing model, how to approach this?
Their recommendation was a full-time staffer.
Full-time staff or a director of tourism.
Correct.
And then what about additional staff thereafter?
They did not make a recommendation about that. It was specifically, if you're going to have a director, make sure it's a full-time employee.
Full-time city employee.
Yeah, and that, I don't know if you were here for, I think you were a member for that meeting, but there was some discussion back and forth about that between the past chairperson and Chuck when that occurred. Mm-hmm. The point being made on the days of that day was, it's great to have a full-time employee, but that full-time employee for Visit Slo County is part of a nonprofit, probably more cost-effective than a city employee. And so we're still taking that into account. We appreciated his input, and we appreciate the input here, and we're still trying to crunch all the numbers and balance it out. I will say a very positive, again, you're going to hear it in the budget, we're not looking at $43,000 above. We're looking really more about $10,000 difference because we project some cost savings elsewhere.
Okay.
So this is all looking very positive. And when we presented to council the overall discussion about where we could go with staffing, we knew there was going to likely be a cost increase in some ways to staff. Council was comfortable with that, and they made the decision to move forward. Staff is as well. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be very thoughtful, and we are going to – it's more Brent's credit than mine. I'm not as stressed out about it because I think it's worthwhile to do it. Brent is working very hard on your behalf to make sure that we try to come in as slim as possible on any increase, and he's done a very good job.
Actually, okay. Thank you.
Any further questions from the board to Sam or Brent in regards to the transition? And I will agree. I mean, obviously, I've been sitting in on the meetings, but I feel like we all want the common goal of just getting this to all work and also be accountable to the stakeholders. I'm in that meeting really pushing hard of we need to show some savings and where can we save some money. You know, obviously, when we hear the $43,000, you know, above, if you're comparing apples to apples, that's a scary thought. But I think, like Sam pointed out, there's some savings that the Bureau is going to do by not having some of that overhead. So I've really told Sam in that meeting, please, can we line item all of those things out eventually so that the stakeholders can see that actually we're not spending, you know, $850 on rent, we're not paying utilities, we're not paying for phones, we're not paying for all these additional things. Like he's saying, it may end up only just being a $10,000 or $15,000 difference, which is a little bit more swallowable than $43,000.
Absolutely. So. And in the spirit of that, and since the public will be very curious about how this plays out on the end, is there a really easy and efficient way to publicly display this new budget and really show the difference that the cost will not be substantial over the previous?
Of course. I mean, I think that it's really going to come down to having a narrative attached to it. Like, once you guys make a recommendation and once council looks at the budget and they approve of the final budget, we'll put a narrative together. Because ultimately right now, the way that we have the staffing model, we have one full-time, three part-time. It's actually going to go to two full-time, one part-time. But included with that, which is going to be really beneficial as we look down the road, is that if there were ever an opening for a tourism professional, you do need to have benefits that are attached to that. And currently, under the current model, there really isn't benefits other than a bonus structure. So, I mean, I think when we are looking down the road, we really do need to look at that. And then also, too, we've had kind of a little bit of a revolving door when it comes to the administrative. And so having a full-time sales and hospitality coordinator, having that be a full-time position, makes it a lot more appealing, and you're going to have that consistency. So I think there's been a lot of thought process as far as, like, the staffing model that we have proposed to the city, and then they're looking at that right now. So when it comes to the stakeholders, I think that when we have that narrative, it's really going to explain and saying, this isn't just for the here and now, it's also for the future, too.
I have a question. In the new model, who hires? Is it the city that makes the hiring decision?
Yes.
Okay.
So we would make both either a contractual decision or a hiring decision.
Right. Okay. And two, we had a public comment, and actually, what was said in public comment about job descriptions, I think that was really valid to be developed, to be given to the city to base its decision on who's best qualified for the positions.
So just to clarify really quick, we have a resolution from the city council. It adopted in place that says that the existing staff will be offered a position, whether it's employment or contractual. So the initial staff will be offered, the current staff will be offered positions. We don't know if everyone will say yes yet. We're still working through that. Regarding job descriptions, we probably will wait until we finalize whether or not we want them to be contracted or employees before we develop a job description, because in a contractual situation, it would be an actual scope of services as opposed to a job description. We want to be really careful and make sure that we're following all the rules related to contractors.
Right. That was going to be my next thing, because if you decide it's going to be on a contractual basis, you can't even give them the space to work in.
We can provide them with space and say it's available for their use.
And
it's
phone.
Up to them if they would like to use it. And Okay. Otherwise, it's a business expense they choose to pick up on their own.
Okay.
We happen to have space, so it might work out.
Okay, and I do agree. I think job descriptions are really important. But like Sam says, we can't kind of put the cart before the horse. We need to figure out if they're if it's going to be contract or if it's going to be a hired. So we've been working really hard. Sam was out for a little while, but hopefully we'll get those staff offers on the table here shortly in the next week or two, and then that'll be kind of the next phase we're working on the back end. And then, you know, we obviously it's up to City and David whether they'll be contract or hired. But and I am definitely pressing really hard to make sure we see those dollar side. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the budget, too, when we go into budget. So, okay. So any further questions, comments on transition before we move to the next board? Taylor, you're awfully quiet today. Okay. And we really thought it'd be exciting too. I just want to back in. I will give Brent big kudos on this one. I loved how we wanted to make a big deal about it with the National Travel Tourism Week. I think that's really exciting to turn something that's been a little painful over the last few months into something very positive and be very proud of what we're doing. So I think that's an awesome little way to have us all come together as one. So. Okay, moving on. Notice of Tourism Business Improvement District annual stakeholder meeting. There has been some discussion about changing the date to Thursday, April 14th at 12 o'clock. So that is before us right now on changing to April 14th. I can kind of turn that over to Brent. We just thought March might be a little too soon, being that we have to get the goals and the budgets and everything going. That's next month. So are we prepared for that? So I'll turn it over to Brent and see if he has anything additional on switching that date.
Thank you, Michelle. It really boils down to a lot of the decisions that are being made today, and we definitely want to allow enough time and thought process when it's coming to the budget and when we're looking at the goals and objectives and also the market tiers. But bigger than that, too, since mental marketing was actually finalized on the 9th, we do want to allow some time to sit down for planning. So that way there's a lot more time that we can give them on helping develop that executable plan that's going to be happening for the 16-17 season. Currently right now we do have a planning session that's going to be happening next week. Sam is going to be involved with that along with the team with mental marketing. We're going to be discussing the general overall plan, look at all of the goals and objectives, the budget, et cetera, and make sure that, again, that we have a very thoughtful and executable plan that we can communicate not just to stakeholders but also city staff and city council. So it was a very aggressive thought in trying to have the stakeholder meeting in March, but I know that there are some agenda items, too, that if we do have the stakeholder meeting next month, those things will have to wait until April, and I'm just really afraid that, you know, some of the events are going to lose out. I just think that we do need to have a little bit more time. So I am actually making a recommendation that we move the stakeholder meeting from March to April, and I'm hoping that I will get the advisory board support on that.
Okay, any discussion on that? Jane? Taylor? Jane? No? Aaron?
Is there a benefit to being on a weekend where more people maybe have access to attend the meeting versus a weekday?
What we're doing different this year, Aaron, compared to the last 2 years, is that we are actually going to be moving the stakeholder meeting from being a morning meeting to being an afternoon meeting. What we're finding is that with the communications, especially the email communications that we're sending out, as well as when we're actually calling properties, that we find that the noon to about 2 o'clock is really kind of that prime time where people have a little bit more freedom because, you know, doing the breakfast and the checkout and all of that usually happens in the morning, and then the check-in usually starts at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we just really want to see a lot more of the lodging engagement, and I think I just really feel like having that, moving it from morning and doing an afternoon is going to be very beneficial. I did extend an offer to Rachel Lowe, who has accepted the position, temporary contract position for sales and hospitality coordinator. And one of the first projects that she is going to be working on is introducing herself and hand delivering invitations for the stakeholder meeting to all the lodging properties. So that way we're assured that there's a conversation that's going to be happening and really just trying to engage and get more lodging at the table. It's really important because, as Member Beeman had discussed in public comment, there is a little bit of a disconnect, and I think one of the things that this advisory board should be thinking about too, as we go into the next fiscal year, and we can definitely can be discussed and put on the agenda, is perhaps even looking at moving the time of this meeting, so that way more lodging could attend if it happened to be an afternoon versus a morning. So I think we just have to look at that as general overall. How do we engage the assessed businesses that are paying into the TBID assessment?
Yeah, Taylor.
I have a comment on that. excuse me. I think it's a great idea to move it to April 14th because there's some events we need to talk about. But I wanted to make a note that on a personal note, I work a lot, and if you were to change the meeting to 12, I'd have to consider pulling myself off this board. I mean, not this one meeting, but all of the meetings. If you were to change it to an afternoon, it would greatly affect my business.
I have a question. Thank you, by the way, for that. The small hoteliers that are owner-run, if they don't have the ability to always attend meetings, which is why they aren't here. But if you can have somebody go to them before the invitation, like to Graze Inn or to Anderson Inn or to Marina Square, and make sure that the time of 12 to 2 works for them, that would be great. I know that in my small hotel, the morning is better because I can get somebody to cover me. But just because I have somebody moving in at 3 o'clock doesn't mean I have to, my rooms have to be inspected and all that kind of thing. So if you just do that one little extra step, that would be great. And then when they get their invitations, they're prepared.
One thing we've done, so I stakeholders meetings, we've done it in the afternoon, and I do think we've had a great turnout for lunchtime. A lot of people can try to get away from lunch. One thing we've done in the past year are some surveys. So maybe we could do a survey and ask the hoteliers and send the surveys out to all the hotels and ask them about timing. It might be a great suggestion. For me, it's half dozen one way, half dozen the other. So, I, 9 or 12, it's the same. Okay, so do we need a motion then I'm looking for a motion. Let me reword that. I'm looking for a motion for us to change the date to Thursday, April 14th, the annual stakeholder TBID meeting.
I make a motion for us to change the annual stakeholder meeting to April 14th, 2016 at 12 p.m.
And I second that motion.
Okay, any further discussion?
Do you want to make the time to be determined at this point in time so staff can actually do a survey, whether it be a morning or afternoon?
I was thinking the survey was more on our meetings. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't talking about stakeholder meeting. I think a 12 o'clock stakeholder meeting is great. I think a luncheon, most people will try to get away for lunch. So, sorry, I meant surveys for in the meetings. Yeah. So, no, I would leave the motion as is. Okay, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. Motion carries 4-0. We will have it, and I believe that will still be at the Inn at Morro Bay?
I'm going to just double-check on the availability. Okay. But it would look like it would be at the Inn at Morro Bay.
So he'll get back to us on that. But everybody mark your calendar, April 14th, 12 o'clock. Okay, we're moving into now, okay, boys and girls, now is when we get into the hard stuff, so let's try to stay focused. We're going to move into the discussion and recommendation regarding our 2016-2017 budget. Brent has provided everybody with a copy here of the current budget. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to review that. What I'm going to try to do is keep us focused and keep us going from one to the other, because this is kind of where we end up doing our hard work. Either end of me prefer to go first. Jane, I see you have notes, so I'm going to start with you down there at the end, sweetheart.
So what I'm doing is commenting on the budget?
Yes.
Okay.
May I chime in?
Yeah.
So some of the things for the advisory board to be looking at today, obviously, for you are going to be making a budget recommendation to City Council, and here are the items that, you know, are kind of have that question mark. So just be thinking about this. If you're going to be recommending the overall budget numbers or modifying them, you're going to be making a decision on how the $60,000 contribution from the City of Morro Bay will be distributed. Currently in the budget, it is actually distributed with the payroll and salaries, $10,000 in that area. The regional marketing grant support, $25,000, and then the balance is in the event grant support. You're also going to be looking and reviewing the financial reserve and deciding whether or not it is necessary under the city umbrella. You can actually make an option to change this to be a contingency fund or funnel the funds into the general budget. So when you're looking at the line items here, you can actually see the financial reserve of $40,280 that is in the right hand column underneath the revenues. So those are the things to kind of keep in mind. I am available for any questions. I'm going to answer as many questions as possible. When you are looking at this budget, obviously our budget structure under the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau is very different than the city. So basically I'm translating the numbers from the budget from our structure under the city. So if you do see a more detailed line item that you want clarification on, definitely do so.
So one thing, too, I'll just give a little mini history. Jane, you might remember, the Bureau Board had set up a financial reserve, and the reason we had done that is we were a business. We were a nonprofit, and so we wanted so much dollars allocated to actually having a reserve, 5%. Okay, thank you. I don't remember what our policy was. So obviously now that we're under a city, I think it's a little bit different. We may want to go with, like, a contingency, which... So old school days when we were TBID, before we were a nonprofit, we had a contingency. It was kind of like a fire sale. All of a sudden, an ad agency comes to us and says, hey, I've got this really great, you know, article, or, you know, you can place this ad for really cheap, and we would pull it out of that fire sale. So that's something that now that we're going to the city, you know, I definitely would recommend we look at that, because we don't necessarily need a financial reserve now that we're under the city wing. We don't have a responsibility of shutting down our own nonprofit business. The city gets to take that on if something happens, in essence. So I just want to point that history out, because I know that's a big chunk of some dollars that we need to look at and figure out what we want to do with.
Madam Chairperson, if I may, really quick. Brent had a slide earlier that really showed the high-level kind of amounts of where the spending is, and you also see that in your packet. That's really what you're considering today. Going through line item is important to ask questions and all that. But it's hard for us to get really explicit when we do that, when we adopt a budget. The line item is really what staff puts together inside our budget document overall. It's not usually something we bring forward, but it's important for the hotel stakeholders to have this information. And so you're getting a lot more detail than we typically would bring out at a public meeting, which I think is wonderful. But I just want to be clear, what you're going to be considering today are those higher level figures on the right-hand side. And again, part of that is because we still haven't made final decisions on salary and benefits, contractor, employee. So if you get too detailed in a recommendation, it would constrain staff a little bit, because then we would probably have to tell council, well, they recommended this, but we still have to recommend something a little bit different based on the city manager's decision.
So if everybody sees there, you'll see the highlighted bullet points that are bolded on the right. Those, I think, are what we really want to focus in. Let's not focus in, I think, what he's saying on such the small minutia. We don't want to micromanage
but
staff.
But please don't hesitate to ask questions. And,
right.
And we obviously heard some public comment that I think may have actually been a little bit inaccurate that we'd be happy to address regarding Jackrabbit and all that as well. So.
Right. So just to clarify, just to keep us all on the same page so we don't get too minutia. So Jane, go ahead. Sorry, we cut you off and now you're back on.
Okay. So the growth of this $956,000 plus budget is what percentage from last year? 20?
That just gets really loud. So based off of the adjusted budget from what the budget subcommittee had recommended, Yep, and we are looking at about a 6% growth.
So it's a 6%
yes.
growth.
And we're looking at that based off of a number of things, Jane. There's an estimated, they're looking at a potential recession in 17, so we definitely want to take into consideration that. We're not sure if El Nino is going to continue on through, and we also do have some new product that is going to be coming on board, so we just didn't want to be as aggressive from the 8% growth from this year, and then we're looking a little bit more at a 6% growth.
So in other words, what you're saying is the budget has grown 6%, from which includes alternative revenue from we don't know where, but it doesn't matter. That's all my point. The 6% growth. So you're saying that our return on this has to be at least a 6% growth in occupancy or income, correct? To justify that?
No, I'm just saying that there will be a 6% growth in revenue over this fiscal year.
We approve that.
I understand that. Okay, so what you're saying is that we're growing TOT by 6%, or TBID by 6, actually. Okay, so
that was one. I think you were over the air, Jane. That was Aaron's got the review here. We as a board gave Brent that. We agreed to that number as a board at a meeting or two ago.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't at that meeting.
To be clear, that also includes a $60,000 contribution from the general fund that you're seeing an increase in your revenue as well. So.
Okay. Well, that's not in our revenue.
This is
it's in the 956,000.
Correct.
I understand. And we contribute to TOT also. So besides the 3%, we're also contributing to TOT. Okay, so my questions are, with the Jackrabbit and the booking.com, that's not in here, is it? What
it
line
is,
item?
If you look under the contractual services, actually,
the 14,400.
Yeah, actually, Jackrabbit is 14,400. It is not 30,000.
Right. No, I just didn't see that really quick. Okay. And the last thing, I had a question because we have promotion other, which is the community event grant support, the regional marketing grant support, and the contingency of 15,000. They're under 6119.
Yep, I can answer that. So, Jane, that's actually when you're looking at the second bullet point, that's actually up on the slide. Part of that 60,000 that I did a placement as far as like funding. And so when you're looking at event grant support, part of the 60,000 is actually funneled into there. We have 25,000 that is actually funneled into a regional support. That is something that is being encouraged by city as well as council to be able to do some support for sales tax businesses to do some regional marketing. And then also 10 is allocated towards benefits and salaries.
So my question is, we have $116,500 for promotion, other, okay?
Yep, and then
$25,000 for that is coming out of regional, which is the city TOT funds,
That is the recommendation that I'm making, correct?
Okay.
And then the 15,000, that contingency fund is actually for agency. So that is that contingency fund that mental marketing would be able to tap into for those opportunities, marketing and PR opportunities
that would come up.
Correct.
Okay. And so the other 60,000 community event grant support, that 60,000, okay, so that 60,000 could be the same 60,000 that's up on top for the city contribution, except that we were just told that that's also into professional development and stuff like that. So are the $60,000 for community event grant support, that's coming out of TBID funds, correct?
Partially.
So for the first
15
really?
Would be, this is all I'm proposing. So you guys can change it up on how you want that $60,000 to be allocated. That's part of the discussion today. But $10,000 I've allocated towards payroll and salaries.
Uh-huh.
We have $25,000 that is being dedicated to regional, that regional grant. And then the remaining $15,000 would be going into the event grant support. But you guys can move that around. If you want to do a third, third, and a third, you can do that. That is a part of the discussion today.
So my question is, well, the only thing that we're doing today per SAM, okay, is do we agree to $956,000 for a budget, really? And then we'll get into the allocation specifics later on.
No, your questions are great and perfect.
Okay. So here's my other question.
If you look on the, excuse me, really quick, board person Beeman, if you look on the PowerPoint up here, you'll see that Brent has outlined for you deciding how the $60,000 in general fund should be spent.
No, I understand.
And so that's what he just outlined. And so please have that discussion. That's
no,
a great
I'm
part
just
of
saying. But the $60,000 on the 6119 actually is going to be coming from TBID funds.
A portion of it. So he's taken the $60,000 general fund contribution and he's splitting it up among several things: payroll and salaries, event grant support, and regional marketing grant support. So the $60,000 you see there for the event grant support is partly includes the general fund contribution, $15,000 of it.
Yes,
as Brent outlined.
Is your question how much total are we putting into promotion?
How much of the $60,000 is coming out of TBID funds? TBID.
How much out of the $60,000?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it would be $45,000.
So $45,000 is out of TBID. So basically, the $45,000 we should really look at when we decide to do that to support overnight stay events.
That's what we're proposing in the goals and objectives.
Okay. Right. Okay. So there was that. My other question is, have the hoteliers seen this?
No, that it's for discussion today, but the hoteliers will actually receive a copy of the recommended proposed budget. But again, council does have to approve of the final budget. But we do want to have stakeholders to be able to see this and review this.
Okay. It also was published on the internet as part of the packet, too. So anyone from the community, including hotel stakeholders, had the ability to log in and see that on the website.
I know, but for some of the hoteliers, it really is, and thank you, it's an amazing piece of work. Really is very artistic.
Yeah, we are going to be, once the recommendation is actually made, it will be updating the budget in the marketing and sales plan draft that will actually go out to all stakeholders.
Okay. So the goals are beyond. And so I guess that's it. The big deal is with this Jackrabbit thing. I think if we do go into booking.com, where's the money going to come from for, like you said, a commission rebate, or where's the money going to come from? And that's for a different discussion If that happens, where would that difference come from?
It is a bigger discussion because we do have properties that are not on booking.com. So I think we have to look at, you know, what are the ramifications if we do move from Jackrabbit to booking.com. Currently, though, that we do have some individual properties because Jackrabbit is not compatible. Actually, booking.com is not compatible under the Jackrabbit system, so we do have properties that are specific to booking.com. So I think that is going to be a future discussion for the advisory board as we're looking and perhaps changing. Visit San Luis Obispo County is actually going to be incorporating booking.com on their website, which it actually assists in helping with bookings for vacation rentals as well. Currently, we don't really have that on our website, but that's something that we could, you know, if you guys do look at booking.com, going to be a part of the discussion. The other part of the discussion, too, is like how do we incorporate doing bookings for camping and RV parks as we're looking down the road? How do we make it easier for people to do business here in Morro Bay? And so as we're looking at the goals and objectives, which is going to be next on the list after you guys discuss budget, is that how, you know, as we're looking into the future, how do we make it easier for customers to be able to do bookings here in Morro Bay? So, but that is definitely a discussion that we have to look at for the future, not just Booking.com, but other solutions when it comes to different booking engines, because there are some that the tourism department under the city will be paying for if you guys decide to go that specific route. Booking.com, there's actually no fee, so we would be saving $14.4 per year, which we could funnel into different programs. You know, if we did try to do a commission rebate, you know, $14,400 isn't a real large amount. And if you do break it out amongst, if you calculate out the number of rooms that we have here in Morro Bay, it's really only about $15.25 per room. So that doesn't really calculate out a lot to a property that has like 8 rooms. So, I mean, to me, we'd have to be looking at, you know, what that looks like for the future. But I think that it is really important for us to discuss that at a future meeting.
Okay, so my last question, I promise everybody. All right, so in the growth, what we're basically saying is that we're going to collect for 2016-17,
$831,606. Correct.
Okay? And that's being spread out, well, besides the 44.5 that we carried over from last year.
Yeah, and that Jane will be carryover because there's some.
That's okay. I don't care why.
Right.
Okay. The point is that if we don't have the income, if we don't make the 831,606, okay, which categories will that affect?
What we do is, that's why this advisory board does a mid-year budget review. We typically try to do that in November or December, so that way we can see in how the numbers are actually coming in and how revenue is actually tracking. So if we do need to make budget adjustments, that would be the time that we'd be making budget adjustments. And typically what we try to do is to not compromise program. If there is, like, for example, under some of the sponsorship, like the Outdoor Writers Association of California, like we wouldn't be taking away from program that we know that are going to be incurring overnight rooms.
And just, by the way, it would have been very helpful also to have, you know how we usually have gotten the reports from TOT, TBID, from the various sectors to see month, year, you know, year to date and month. What happened to that?
I believe the last one was in December, wasn't it? So I think the next one will be coming in March or April.
Yeah. We do a quarterly.
Yeah, it's a quarterly.
Yeah, but I mean, if we're talking about budget, that would have been a nice report to have.
I think that we talked a lot about it when we adopted the budget.
So,
okay, that's before
me. And really quickly, as a note on that, so TOT's at mid-year of the budget, TOT's about $250,000 above budget for the city. So we're doing a really good job. The TBID is working just as it's supposed to. I wanted to add a little bit on timing in terms of mid-year budget, because obviously the TBID assessment now, the whole budget, this line item is based on the city's line item system. So all those numbers are the city system that Brent's worked with the finance director to work on. The timing of coming to you in November, December to review that is perfect, because we will bring a mid-year budget adjustment to the city council sometime January, February, typically. So what we do also as staff is all of the department heads, the directors, we put together quarterly and mid-year reviews of all of our budgets, all of our line items. So I literally will have to work with Brent and build a PowerPoint for the city manager and go through line item by line item to say, what's 10% higher or lower? How are we doing? And then at mid-year we'll say, this is where we've ended up. We'll make some recommendations, some requests basically to the city manager and the finance director as to what should be adjusted. This advisory body will help us do that in November, December. So it's a really good way to do that. We'll actually have some advisory body help when we make those requests to the finance director. Then she will put together a full amendment to the budget at mid-year for the council to consider. So it's perfect timing.
Which, if you remember, that was one push we had last year, is we had really pushed the city to go off of some of our recommendations, because they were able to adjust their budget and go a little bit more off of what we were recommending off of versus what they were. So obviously now it'll all be a little bit more internal, so we'll probably be a little easier even. But I remember last year we had really pushed for that as well, to try to help the city gauge their budget numbers better. Okay, so Jane, any further comments or anything? No. Okay, Aaron.
Thank you, Michelle. Brent, we had established a subcommittee to sit down and look at wages and so forth. I realize that that also needs to be in conjunction with the city. And
correct.
It sounds like Sam and Michelle have been kind of aggressively looking at all of that. So in the master budget section here under the salaries, wages, and benefits, this number, is we're still working through it, essentially.
Right.
This is not fixed.
It could change,
all.
Yes.
It could change.
I don't know if it's, you know, essentially, really, it's going to be falling under more on the benefits side. So, I mean, ultimately, we still wanted to provide a number for the advisor board to get an idea of what is being proposed, but we can definitely fluctuate those numbers as we work with the city on how that staffing model and what those amounts will be.
Okay. What do you think the timetable will be to kind of crunch in on this and hone down on these numbers?
Wouldn't you estimate, Sam, that we're probably looking at finalizing that before the end of this month?
Yeah, within the week or two, we will be giving offer letters to them to explain the situation. And I think that the goal, no matter what, is to make sure that regardless of anything, it's going to be comparable to what's already in place. We don't want to reduce anybody.
Sure.
But there have been recommendations that do some increases that, you know, the professional staff here believe will be beneficial. Mm-hmm. And so we're taking all that into account to make sure that we find the best system that fits Marlborough.
And if there are some increases, it could be to incentivize staff and have greater performance.
Correct.
And see a good
correct.
Return on that investment.
And you'll see that in the line item here, you'll see $10,000 kind of incentive package for the sales manager, for instance, based kind of commission-based. So that's in here. That's wrapped in.
Right.
Which is a great thing. We need the staff out there to be truly motivated.
Exactly.
And sometimes money talks. It really does. The financial reserve, Michelle brought up an interesting point here. Currently, we have budgeted in the financial reserve of $40,280.
Correct.
Being entrepreneurs and independent business people, we always have a financial reserve. But the idea is intriguing. Do we want to actually put that in an advertising contingency fund for any last-minute things? I guess open for discussion and thoughts.
Yeah.
Which direction should we take this?
It is kind of a recommendation that I would make in making sure it doesn't have to be $40,800.
Okay.
You guys, the advisory body here, could make a recommendation to incorporate and recommend a policy to council that there might be a percentage of the budget that would actually be reserved for a contingency. But my recommendation is that you look at those dollars and figure out if you want to make the whole $40,800 as a contingency fund, which would be added to the $15,000 that also could be accessed by the agency. You could reduce that amount, or you could funnel all of that within the general budget. So, I mean, ultimately, that there's a lot of flexibility with that. I don't really see a need for having a financial reserve, because we will not be a separate 501c6. But I do see that, especially this fiscal year, our contingency is tapped out. I mean, we have no contingency left, and we're not even done with the end of the year.
So you do see a benefit to rolling that into contingency dollars.
I see a huge benefit for that, especially when it comes to sponsoring events specific to business that will be coming into Morro Bay. You know, one example is that Amgen was not a budgeted item, but it was looked upon as being a benefit to the city of Morro Bay and to the lodging community. We've also had some other opportunities in helping sponsor media. We're seeing a larger increase in the number of participation and partnership in between Visit California and Morro Bay. We have actually an Australian fam that is looking at coming in yet this year, which we didn't budget for, which we're always going to try to find those dollars to help support with those media fams coming in. It's very, very key for us and for our future. So, I mean, ultimately, if you had a contingency that was healthy, we would definitely be using that for those pieces of business that we know that are going to benefit Morro Bay directly.
So rather than robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Exactly.
When these contingency events come up, let's establish the money now.
Right.
Does 5% seem, because that's roughly where we're at right now. We have $831,000 in anticipated revenues, $40,000 in contingency, so we're about 5%.
It's 5%. The policy was actually taking 5% of the assessed funds, so it doesn't take into consideration the other funds that are there.
Correct. Okay.
Daniel?
No.
Taylor.
I knew it. I saw your notes.
Okay, so I have here are my notes. First thing that it's a question that I need to have help with. If we were to make changes in the bid so that the vacation rentals, the camping, and the RV parks were paying into it, which I believe they're not, and that would be something that could change after the April review, I believe. Would that increase our bid revenue, which is projected at $831,606? Do you want me to just go through all of them, or do you want me to do one at a time?
I mean, it definitely can. I think, you know, it is a much bigger discussion. It does take a lot longer period of time. So we probably won't see that being reflected in this specific fiscal year. I know that there are some discussions as far as like other bids for the future, but I think that's really more not this fiscal year, but more in the next fiscal year. So, I mean, ultimately, like the vacation rentals and the RV parks, it takes about an 18-month process for that to go through the process to make that happen. And, you know, we will not be seeing that happen like within this specific fiscal year. So that will not be impacting this budget. But we do need to look a little bit more broader, because we are going to be under the city umbrella. And so as we are looking at marketing, you know, marketing and PR for the future, we do need to take into consideration that if you guys adopt and recommend the goals to council, that some of the goals are actually a little bit more broader. It's impacting the overall city TOT, which the RV and the vacation rentals do pay into TOT. They don't pay into the TBIT assessment. So if you guys do make a recommendation and you make that recommendation to council, just know that that really is going to be a part of that discussion. I do want to talk to you, because I think it's really important, Taylor, at this juncture, that when we are looking at, you know, like the analytics, especially the web analytics, Morro Bay Camping is second underneath the hotels and motels as far as like what is the most popular links on the morrobay.org website. And when we are looking at the keywords that people are searching out for our destination, they are seeking out camping. But more interesting is that we just actually had a marketing committee meeting happen on Tuesday for Visit San Luis Obispo County, and they are also finding that camping is one of the biggest keywords for the Visit San Luis Obispo County website as well. So I think that, you know, as we're moving forward and as we're looking at what the goals and objectives are going to be, we do know that people are coming here to camp, but they're also coming here at different times to stay in hotels and motels, and they're also coming here to stay in vacation rentals. So I think we have to look a little bit more broadly when we're talking about goals. But as far as the budget, those entities would not be impacting this specific budget, especially for the assessment.
And if I could add really quick, because we're in a transitionary period, it probably is more appropriate to kind of hold off on consideration of something like that until at least maybe the next year. I think we want to make sure that we're up and running, doing really well, before we try to wrap them in as well. I will also say the City Council did adopt their goals and objectives already for this next fiscal year on Tuesday. And that included the objective that should someone come forward from the business community interested in an additional bid, we would work with them on that. It was modified from the staff's recommendation or initial writing, where we said we would work to seek out another bid. The council, I think, was more comfortable at this time with the business community, retail, restaurant, coming to us and showing interest prior to creating another bid. So at this time, the objective is not exactly what the staff, I think, initially recommended, but that's what council adopted.
Okay, so it just that from my point of view, when I'm looking at the data and the numbers, and I'm looking at 831,606 is the bid money that is of the, you know, that's the majority, huge majority of this 956, and then you're talking about making decisions about marketing and camping and all these things being so important, you're promoting that stuff with bid money that's coming from the hotels, not from the... So if we're marketing camping, if we're marketing vacation rentals, whatever, and that money's coming from the bid, well, shouldn't those entities be putting into the bid because we're marketing for them? And thus, doesn't that promote TOT, which is the goal for the city? So I just feel like it's a... I feel like it's such a no-brainer that it's kind of irritating, and I think it's a mistake in the past that it wasn't done. And if we're in a transition, correcting mistakes of the past is what the transition's all about for me. And I just, you know, it's a point that I feel passionately about, and I'm going to keep on bringing up. And I think that we did go over it today, but I think that it needs to be brought up over and over again until that mistake is corrected.
And that's a great discussion, and thank you for doing that. Staff does not disagree with you at all.
Okay.
I think we're 110% on board.
Okay.
In terms of the past, when the bid was initially adopted, you did have some of those folks that came out and spoke against being included. I think there was some fear that it would have killed the bid overall had they been – they were initially included in the recommendation to go forward from staff. So I think there was a little bit of a political decision made to ensure that we at least preserve the initial start of the bid. I think what's happened over time is you all and your professional staff have done a wonderful job showing how successful this can be and what the benefit is.
Uh-huh.
And so we will absolutely continue to work in the future to see what we can do to bring them into it. I do want to say, too, that remember that part of your law says that you can do the general promotion of tourism within the district to include costs as specified in the business plan. So as long as you wrap them in your business plan and your budget, you can do that. And I think that's important because what we're talking about is the promotion generally of the destination that is Morro Bay, because what we're trying to do is really sell the story of what it is to be here. Maybe they're going to go camping one time, but maybe the next time they stay in a hotel. And anything we can do to continue to promote the general destination of Morro Bay is going to continue to encourage people to come back again. And that's what we want. We want those repeat customers.
Right. And ultimately, too, it's like you have to look at what is the customer looking for. We aren't actively promoting camping and vacation rentals. It happens to be on the morrobay.org website, and it did exist prior to me starting. So we want that to be available as an available resource. And we also want to make sure that the morrobay.org website is a one-stop shop for people who are looking at coming to vacation, whether it's coming in for the day or staying overnight. So it's really important as a destination marketing professional that you do look at a little bit more of a global perspective on that. I do agree with you that it would be great that if those entities would be paying into the assessment, but I know it is a bigger discussion. I think that's something that definitely could be talked about for the future.
Okay, number two on my notes, I have it as infrastructure versus marketing. I know that, Sam, you've talked about how the bid dollars need to go toward, can't go toward infrastructure stuff in the city, like we can't take bid dollars and put them into streets or whatever, correct?
Technically, if you added money into the budget for infrastructure, you probably could do it. It's got to be in the business plan. I don't think anyone here is interested in placing any infrastructure money in the business plan, and the council has been very, very aggressively loud saying they have no interest in doing that. Okay. So we would not be doing that. We're recommending that.
Right. So in some of the discussion that I've had on my own time with people that influence my position up here, we spend – majority of our money on marketing and public relations, as you can see from this budget, which is what, as you just said, is our job. On that note, though, let's take this Maritime Museum thing I talked about today. You can see how putting money towards an event, a multi-day event, promoting that event would thus, as the packet shows, raise funds for them to put into the Maritime Museum infrastructure. And that's a way to go about it. And going back to another item that I've been asked to talk about routinely is this, which I realize could be a dying project, but I'm passionate about it, the professional lighting of the downtown trees. You can see how that could be considered an infrastructure piece, but from my point of view, putting money into a project like that is really about advertisement and about beautifying the downtown area in the nighttime where it would benefit restaurants and hoteliers. And for me, even though you might be able to describe that as an infrastructure, for me, it's a marketing. And I think that when we're looking at dollars, those kind of items need to be considered more in our future. And I know that some of the people that I've talked to have wished that some of those dollars could be shared towards those kind of things to look into the future. Can I just keep on moving? Number three. This one's a small one that I keep on trying to bring up. The county marketing through events. I've learned through the event industry that events are very beneficial, not necessarily for the event to be successful, but for the ripple effect of that event in the community or the county or more so in marketing. For example, Savor the Central Coast. Even though Savor the Central Coast usually loses money. This last year, I think they made $12,000. Usually loses money. But it brings in millions of dollars for hoteliers, restaurants, tourist dollars spent in the area. And I think it's really important when we're talking about looking at events, especially when you're looking at a budget where we're spending nearly $1 million on marketing and public relations and $60,000 on events. Huge difference. That events have huge potential. And I personally find it frustrating to see that an event such as Savor the Central Coast, which was so globally recognized from my point of view and brought in so much money to the county, now we're just going to kind of, from my point of view, we're sweeping it under the rug and it's kind of like a lost thing this year. What about all that money that was brought in, even though the event, yeah, it didn't make a bunch of money at the event, but all the money that the county made, I find that frustrating. And I think that when we're talking about events and having budgeting money for events, we need to look at the bigger picture of what events do. And from my point of view, $60,000 isn't enough. I feel like we need an event coordinator. I don't think you're going to get an event coordinator for less. A professional event coordinator for a year, I think, is going to cost you anywhere from $70,000 to $90,000. And on that same note, I think that research is very important in this business of events. And $5,000 for research in the budget seems small to me. And I know that we've talked in the past about some people not really appreciating research or feeling that marketing is more important. And I don't disagree with that. But for me as a scientist, research is hugely important for the intelligent person looking into the future, because that's how you predict things. And I do think that I would love to see us talk more about having events be more than 60,000 and research be more than 5,000. And that's all I have to say.
So, Taylor, I wanted to address the research portion. Visit San Luis Obispo County is doing a lot of investment with research, and we're actually partnering with them. And so they're actually taking the bulk of the costs for research for the county. And we actually have the opportunity for Morro Bay to participate in getting information specifically for Morro Bay. So when you see that number at 5,000, the reason why it is at 5,000, because the participation is going to be more as a county with relation to getting information specific to Morro Bay. We are currently doing a research project in concert with Visit San Luis Obispo County that will be addressing, you know, what is the visitor profile during high season, low season. There's some other nuances to that as well. So we're actually investing some dollars this fiscal year. There's also going to be some money that we're going to be investing next fiscal year. But that's the beauty of the partnership that we have with the Visit San Luis Obispo County TMD, is that they know on how much research is actually very important, not just as a county as a whole, but each of the destinations. So there's a really good synergy in between those two. So we don't have to dedicate as much dollars to research because we're already doing that partnership with them, and they're carrying a bulk of that load.
And Taylor, I wanted to comment on both tree lighting and events really quickly. I think that politically, the tree lighting is considered infrastructure at this point and is probably just kind of not something that what I've gathered so far is an interest of the hoteliers at this time. But I'm going to start being a broken record a lot at these meetings because what I think I hear from the council and a lot of the general community and my boss and probably me as well is we want to continue to find other ways to promote the destination of Morro Bay. And when you call that tree lighting marketing, I fully 100% agree with you. That's why I was interested and why I'd made an initial recommendation that the council's objectives regarding other bids because I was hoping I feel like we have a lot of money for marketing and promotions right now, just as you said. But what we're lacking is maybe another bid that could help with that infrastructure. Because it's awesome that we have a quirky, quaint town that people want to come to, but they're not going to want to come here if it's crumbling. And we could do a lot of beautification and whatnot, the tree lighting and benches and just other stuff that retains the quality of the product, but puts a little bit of lipstick on it that maybe we're missing because, frankly, the city doesn't have the funding. So we're going to keep working on that from a variety of ways and you know, from our economic development strategic plan to see what we can do. I am working with Walter Heath and Morro Bay and Bloom to see other opportunities for the tree lighting at this time. We're going to keep working on it. We're not going to stop on that at all. For events, I think the city is 110% on board with you there, too. People come here because they just love Morro Bay and they want to visit or an event. And the TBID has a history of supporting certain events that are multi-day that bring in business. And the city wants to continue to do that. You know, and it's very obvious that we have opportunity for shoulder season and midweek to continue to build that. So what opportunities do we have for new events that can help do that? And so we're constantly looking at that. Brent's constantly looking at that. I almost want to do the Sustainable Seafood Festival now that he's brought that up with the RFP interview. It's this big and it's exciting. But those events, that event is building the destination. It's marketing the destination so people want to come here. And so I think everything you're saying is something the city fully agrees with. This budget's a little tricky because we're in this transitionary period. I think that there's an opportunity over what the city has projected as a kind of a five-year period for $300,000 in general fund money to come into this budget eventually to do more with events, and that event coordinator is something we talked about prior. We want to be responsible with the contributions we give from TOT, I think. This is new money coming in, and I'm really excited that we're able to do it. The finance director almost had an aneurysm when she found out we were proposing this, but it's exciting that we can do this, and it's because of the work of the TBID. Every time you increase the TBID assessment, you're increasing TOT, and it's allowing us to invest more of that into the marketing of the destination that it's Morro Bay.
And then also, too, I wanted to, the touch point when you're talking about the funds for events, please note, too, that this dollar amount can be a placeholder. So when I was developing the budget, obviously we know that there's some fixed costs, but there's money that we can actually funnel around as well. So it is open for discussion. It doesn't have to stay at 60,000. It could actually increase if you choose to make that recommendation today. So just note that the 60,000 was a placeholder because 60,000 is what the event support has actually happened in the past over the last number of years, which has actually helped impact a number of different events here in Morro Bay. We are seeing some events actually kind of die out. Which sometimes that is the evolution of an event, because people get burnt out, and sometimes, you know, but there's new events that actually come into play. When you are looking at the advertising sponsorship, you can look at that too and saying, there are some advertising sponsorships that's related to more professional events. And what I mean by professional events, those are the conferences. That's the media. Those are those types of things where we can specifically track those numbers that are coming in and what impact that's making. The 60,000 is specific to community events, but again, you can actually make a recommendation to increase that number today. So.
Okay, I would like to talk, but I know Aaron wants to say something, and then I'm gonna bring. I get to speak for hopefully not 25 minutes.
I just wanted to add real quick to the special events. The media was incorrect about Savor the Central Coast. It is a phenomenal event, and actually it's a great, tremendous opportunity right now as the Visit San Luis Obispo County kind of repostures the event and tries to roll it out in many, many snippets throughout the year that could go to different locations around the county. Morro Bay may even have the opportunity to host a Savor event. The idea there being is that we can create more heads in beds throughout the year, off season, shoulder season, rather than putting all that time and energy into one event over just a few days. So, anyways, I just wanted to get that on the record. Thank you.
So I'm going to try to not lose my head here as the hotelier and wanting all of these great projects on the hotel side. I just want a reminder, I'd love to see on our meetings our mission statement put back on there, and I just want to read it real quick because I love events. Don't get me wrong. I think events are important, but we're not an event board. So I just want to be careful. We've been down this discussion before, and as a hotelier, I get a little nervous when we want to put all of our money into events because I want to remember what our mission statement is. And I'm just going to read it real loud because it's not on our thing, and I had to go search for it real quick. The purpose of the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau is to promote and increase tourism in the city of Morro Bay by improving and strengthening the condition of the tourism business environment. The objective shall be accomplished through the development and operation of a tourism improvement district and other marketing, branding, and promotional programs and initiatives. So the reason I'm saying that is we're here to market and promote what is going on. Do we want to support events? Of course. But I do not want to turn into an event board. I do not want to turn into all of our money going to events. That is just me personally, something that I want to voice out there because I get very concerned when I start hearing all of these things about tree lighting and infrastructure and hiring an event coordinator. I loved what you started off with about we need to get other BIDs. Why though would RV parks, vacation rentals, or other BIDs want to join on if we're already paying the buck? So they need to get on board and to have these need to be partnerships. It can't be all supported. $1 million is a lot of money, but it's really not when you market and promote. We spend $20,000 just on one ad if we have to. So in the scheme of things, we need to remember also what we're here for. We're here to market and promote. Would I love to have trees lit up? Of course I would love to. But I'd also love to drive a Mercedes-Benz every day, and I can't afford to. So don't get me wrong. I love the ideas. I just want to say, realistically, we have to look at what we have the money to do. And our job is to market and promote. I do want to support events, so I'm not out there. Don't skin me dry. But we are here to market and promote. And for me as a stakeholder sitting here as a hotelier, I immediately red flag. I've already got, more money being spent to administration because we're going, which I think the employees deserve incentives, and I love that idea. But I get nervous when we start hearing of all of the hotelier money going to lighting up trees. Not that it's not important, but it needs to be a partnership. We need to say, hey, we put in so much money. The businesses put up so much money. To me, it shouldn't be pulling all on the backs of 37 hoteliers. I get it. We're Destination Morro Bay. I'm all about the whole destination. I think it'd be great. But we don't have enough money to go around to everybody. So,
Madam Chairperson, really, really quickly, I want to make sure it's really clear that I was not promoting spending all of the money on tree lighting and events.
I'm just saying.
And what I was trying to segue into was that I think there's a great opportunity coming up over the next 5 years to have general fund money, $300,000, that could assist with those other things. And potentially future bids if someone's interested. So I want to make it really clear that I think the TBID has shown that marketing – that promotions and advertising and PR has been very crucial to increasing our TOT, and we're not saying we're not going to do that. So I want to make sure it's clear. Also, though, that's the Bureau mission statement and not the TBID mission statement, I don't believe. I wanted to clarify that.
There is a BID
mission statement.
So
is that the one you were reading? I wasn't clear.
You
mentioned Bureau.
Positive.
I heard Bureau, and so I just wanted to.
Yeah, I'm not positive, but we need to go pull the BID one. I just quickly was trying to find our mission statement. I thought they were one and the same, but I could be wrong, so don't quote me. I'm wrong on it quite often.
Can I just say something real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. The reason why, way back when in 2009, was it, or 8, that the hotels started the initiative for BIDs because there wasn't any funds going to market the city. So there was a need, okay, to promote business. I am a hotelier, and I totally agree with Taylor. I think lighting our city will bring people here. When people go and decide, what do you want to do this weekend? It's usually event-driven. So I do really agree with that. I also strongly believe that I'm sick of paying the buck for everybody as a hotelier. So there has to be a need. And what I really think is chicken blank is for the city to say, we're not going to take the initiative to try to get a BID started for restaurants and retailers and VRBOs and camping. Let them decide to do it themselves. Okay? That isn't going to happen because we're paying for everything. So if the restaurant, retailers, VRBOs, camping, if they decide that there's a need and they want something bad enough, more events, consistency in events, promotion, to me, an event coordinator to have consistency and a professional look for an event and success is a need. I think we should have more events here. But that for that to come from somebody else, I really hope that Taylor talks to the people he's been talking to and get them to start a bid and go to the restaurants and go to the retailers and go to the people on the Embarcadero and go to all these places that say they want this stuff and see if they'll even put out a dime to pay for it. I did that. I said, oh, would you give us a dime on every sale? And the answer was no. So I hope you do that, because I'll be behind you 100% and help you.
Okay, so we need to get back to budget. So we need to work out some of these numbers. Me not saying that I'm anti-events, but I opened up my can of worms, and I don't see on our Tourism Business Improvement District a mission statement. So it may be the Bureau. So I will apologize.
You have
out
a purpose
there.
And authority, and it's pretty yeah. similar to the Bureau overall yeah. mission statement. I mean, it's about marketing and promoting lodging. And
right. On. So I just we'll find that eventually. But it would be nice when we find it to put it on here. So what I'm thinking just off the cuff, because we need to get some numbers and we need to put – I want it out of here at 11, guys, and it's 10:30, and we're still on this. What I really would like to see, we have the $60,000. What we need to kind of decide on is the $60,000, where this is going. Personally, and I'm just going to throw some stuff out there to get us in discussion, I'd like to see the $60,000 contribution from the city of Morro Bay, $20,000 going to payroll, $20,000 going to events, and $20,000 going to grants. So it's technically $20,000 is for community, and then $20,000 to grants, and then $20,000 to payroll. So that's where I'd like to see the $60,000. And I would also like to see the financial reserve of $40,000 put into a fire sale contingency. So that whole money is basically turned into contingency. And we're not having to have necessarily a financial reserve. So those are kind of things I'm just going to throw off there real quick if anybody wants to start up some discussion, because we need to get a motion on the table and move this back, this forward.
Madam Chair, we really don't need 20 to go to payroll. It really the difference is about 10. I mean, if you want to do 20, you can. That's really okay. up to you, but essentially
it's about 10.
It's 10.
Okay, so 10,000, and then I would throw the other 10 then into events. So that would be 30,000 into events, 10,000 into payroll, and 20,000 into community, regional marketing.
Brent, was your initial recommendation to do 10,000 for payroll, 15,000 for event, and 25K for regional marketing?
Correct. Because I think one of the discussions that probably will happen on a stakeholder standpoint that is it appropriate to have TBID funds to support the regional portion of this versus taking part of that $60,000 to dedicate $25,000 for a regional program.
I just wanted to see a little into events, because to me, events and regional are.
So you're advocating yeah. shifting another 5K over to events.
Right. I'm saying okay. add the 5 to events and then put the regional at 20.
20.
Right. And that's why I know I started off as I'm anti-events. I'm not saying I am. I want to see more money go to events. I just it's a slippery slope, and I need to put my hotelier hat on, and I need to say the things that I hear.
But on a smaller scale rather than going in a full BID scale.
Exactly.
So, Madam Chair, are you recommending to keep the numbers where they're at in the budget, but you're just talking about the allocation of the $60,000, correct?
I'm talking about the $60,000 allocation,
okay.
Correct. Yes.
Thank
and
you.
Then I'm requesting that the financial reserve be moved to contingency as a fire sale.
And I would agree with that as well. I would agree. Let's use the contingency money. The $40,280 is contingency funds. There will be a return on investment in
and
that.
And Amgen's a great example of that.
It
doesn't
is.
That $40,000 fire sale could end up going back to an event or a community or a regional program with the chamber or something like that. We don't know what the foreseen is, especially in this year of transition. I think that financial contingency needs to be higher because we are going into a different. It's a transition year. We don't know what's going to come forward. So I really think that whole 40 should get moved to contingency. So that I'm going to start that up for discussion.
I would agree with you.
Anybody else?
Nothing here.
Okay. Can we see a motion? Or I guess I can make a motion.
I have some questions. Okay. What we're doing is we're saying $956,106 is the proposed budget. And we're saying that money's coming from alternative revenue, city contribution of 60, and the bid assessment of 831,606, and a carryover of 44.5. If we approve that, basically what we've been told is that we can figure out where it's going to go later if we have a problem. Isn't that true? Hello?
We have to have a budget, though, that we're giving staff to go and marching orders. We basically have to approve the line, the large line item so that they can go off and they can spend that money. And council still has to approve all this. So we're recommending to council, okay, we're going to take salary wages at 173. 10 of that's coming from the city. We're taking marketing PR at 753. 20,000 is coming from city. I guess it would be 40 because the community event grants and the regional.
So my question is, right now, you're trying to figure out $60,000, which is inconsequential, but 25 of that already is going to regional.
No, what we're
it's
saying,
in here, right here.
I know, but that's what we're asking right now. I'm asking to change that. So I'm
20.
Saying... Yes.
And then where do you want the 40?
To go into events. No. Okay.
30
to go to events.
And where do you want the 10?
10 to go to payroll.
Why?
Because I think that the city, because it's going to cost last year's budget to this year's budget, it's going to end up costing the T-bid about $10,000 more.
65 for events.
So that's the city's contribution into payroll. Since it's going to cost more for administration, we're asking the city to pay for that. So that the city is contributing a partnership into the administration.
Okay, so you're asking the city to come up with $10,000
for administration,
because
that's
the difference.
Right.
Okay, I was just trying to
30
out
into events
doing.
From city money to events, and then 20,000 for a regional.
So here's
marketing.
My other question. My other question is, we have $40,280.
That should go to fire sale to contingency.
Right. We're going to change that to contingency.
Yep.
We had a carryover balance of 44.5. Why don't we just make contingency of 40,000, put the 280 back into the carryover balance, reducing it by that much, and putting that somewhere else?
The 44.5 is carryover because those dollars are actually already allocated towards items that we've already discussed. And that's going to be going over into the next fiscal year.
Well, so is contingency. Why can't it just be?
It's not contingency because that money is actually allocated towards activities already.
It's already line item.
It's already
been spent. Basically.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay. I was just getting confused by what you said.
Okay. So we need a motion. Anybody going to make a motion? Oh, I see Sam going to the...
Just to clarify, are you motioning to approve the full budget with your proposed amendment?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
That was a motion I was about to make. I would like to make a motion to approve the budget with a couple of the minor changes that was recommended by Chairwoman such as the financial reserves of the $40,280 being converted to the contingency fund and the $60,000 in city contribution being dispersed as pretty much had been noted.
And just to add on to that, because what I'm understanding from Madam Chair is that the community event grant support will actually change to $65,000, and the regional marketing grant support will be reduced to $20,000. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Let's swap those.
Can I get a second for that motion?
A second.
Any further discussion?
I just wanted to know if anybody on this board has talked to any other hoteliers about this. Yeah.
No, but we will get to.
Before we approve it?
Well, we can approve it, but it has
to. And what if your hoteliers say we don't like it?
This body is not to approve. You're making a recommendation to council.
This is a discussion to try to refine the budget so we have some sort of a consensus, and then it goes out to the greater community to then look at it. We have to have a starting point generated by staff, then we make a recommendation on that staff generation.
And so this can be changed.
Council makes final.
This is your recommendation. Your recommendation will not change once you vote on it. That doesn't mean that at any time staff would make a different, can't make a different recommendation, but I think what's happened today is you've worked off of staff recommendation and built on it, and it's been a great process. So thank you for all your hard questions. It's great.
Thank you.
And the stakeholders will all see this in April. Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Me.
3-1. Motion carries with the approved budget. Okay. Moving on. Let's try not to take almost an hour on the next one, but this is a big one. So the next item we have before us is discussion and recommendation regarding our goals. So let me give you a little history working with transition, and I know this. The way that it works for the now that we're an advisory board and under the city, they really work off of the objectives and goals. So these 2016-2017 goals and objectives are extremely important. This is basically going to be the marching orders to staff and what staff is going to carry out. So we need to be able to... you know, anything that they do needs to be working under these goals. So we need to make sure that we all, as an advisory board, agree with these goals and objectives so that we can make a recommendation to council on those.
And some of the goals that are highlighted here, obviously they impact other goals. And so just please note that the goals that staff are actually proposing right now is to increase overall occupancy in hotel-motel revenues, especially during midweek and shoulder season. Extend the number of average hotel motel room nights beyond 1.5. Please note that the longer a person actually stays in Morro Bay, that does directly impact the sales tax businesses, and you'll see that as a future bullet point here. Help incrementally increase the hotel motel average daily rate. That has been a goal of the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau, and I think that it needs to transition over. Bring exposure to Morro Bay as a viable domestic and international destination for individuals and groups. Assist with the development and growth of competitions and events that attract overnight guests. We do see that, again, with the overnight, there is a larger spend when there's an overnight stay versus a day. Create opportunities to positively impact sales tax businesses and drive economic development in the city of Morro Bay. And positively impact transient occupancy tax, or TOT, for the city of Morro Bay. Please note that if one or more of the goals and objectives that are attained above, all of that does impact the TOT. So, I mean, just generally overall, a lot of these actually, they kind of interchange and they work in concert with each other.
And for clarification, really quick, I just, again, on the timeline. So the City Council has adopted their goals and objectives for the year. They did that on Tuesday. But I think what this really is kind of the staff work plan, if you will, for what your professional staff is saying, that this is the best way to continue to enhance, really, TOT and thus your success as hoteliers. So we probably don't have to take this to council. What it is he's really saying, this is what I think is a good plan. This is our budget. Is informed by these goals and objectives, and the upcoming marketing plan is informed by these objectives as well. So you don't have to take this to council. This is really a discussion between you saying this is great. This fits the budget we just are recommending. This is going to fit the marketing plan we're going to look at the stakeholder meeting.
Sam, thank you for the clarification on that. Because I was I was actually under the assumption that these goals were going to be brought back to council. So thank you for that.
I will say, in the future, if there's something more specific, actually these are all very specific and really well done. If you would like these on the goals and objectives for the council, we can start putting that into the timeline. We start working on that in November, December, staff saying what do we think we should suggest. You know, what have we accomplished? What should we work on? Based on whatever the 10 goals are, we can add objectives, and then they start having their workshops in January and February. I believe one hotelier did actually participate in the objective sessions. Ms. Olu, she actually came to that, so that was helpful. And we can start getting into that process. So this is, again, this is all the transition, right. So we're still kind of working through it. And I would say probably November, December, at one of your meetings there, you work with Brent on this again, and we'll try to see which ones are ones we should try to offer up. It's probably part of the economic development goal, unless they modify that. I hope they never modify that goal, because that would be interesting, but it would fit there really well.
Okay, so everybody had a chance to look through this. Obviously, Brent, put this together. I'm pretty happy with what I see, but Jane, any comments on the goals and objectives?
No, I just wanted to make sure we incorporate, the Riverside County areas and stuff like that somewhere.
That's actually the next discussion topic.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, so. Goals and objectives?
Concise and to the point. Well written, Brent. Thank you.
Taylor, goals and objectives?
I'm all on board.
Okay, so if I can see a motion to approve the 2016-2017 goals and objectives that were presented by Brent.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the 2016-2017 goals and objectives as written by staff.
Okay, any further? Oh, second.
A second.
Sorry. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries 4-0. Okay, thank you. Great job, Brent. And thank you, Sam, for clarifying, because I thought that you went to city, too, so good.
Right. Yeah, and one more addition there, too. So we did talk at a meeting about the work plan, and so maybe that's what the confusion, and that's probably my fault. So
that's okay.
What we're trying to do with all the advisory bodies is, all of our advisory bodies have a lot of great ideas, and sometimes, though, we already have the goals and objectives adopted by council, which is a huge public process. We try to get input from all the advisory boards for those. And what happens is staff starts working really hard on the goals and objectives as quickly as possible, and then sometimes we get off the rails because a new great idea comes up, and it's not on the goals and objectives, or it's not part of what staff was hoping to bring to an advisory body. So what we're trying to do is start a work plan process for each advisory body, where we say this is the work plan for the advisory body over the course of the year. The advisory body will make a recommendation based on staff recommendation of the advisory body. Advisory body will look at it and make a recommendation to council. And so then the council will adopt your recommended work plan, and that's hopefully gives us better structure over time. It doesn't preclude you from requesting that the council add something to that work plan, but we just want to make sure that it's clear for both the advisory body and staff what should be worked on. So these fit well with kind of a work plan aspect, and we'll maybe fashion these a little bit as part of your work plan, and we'll bring it to council as a work plan, if that makes sense. So I think it works perfectly.
Perfect. Okay. So moving on to the next agenda item, this is going to be the discussion and recommendation regarding our geographic targets. Brent has presented with our kind of different tiered markets for 2016-2017. So everybody should have had a chance to look at that.
Yep. Do you want me to go over really quickly?
I think we all read it. I'm trying to watch time.
We read it.
Yeah, we don't need to.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Jane, I know you wanted to come in. Sorry, not to cut you off, Brent, but I had a goal of 11, and so I'm trying to keep us on point. So does anybody – obviously, we all read through it. Some of these tiers are very familiar to us, but if we have any feedback now's the time. Otherwise, this is kind of our marching orders to staff. So, Jane, I'm going to start with you.
I'd like to expand into the Orange County area. I would also like to expand into the Riverside County area, San Bernardino, Riverside.
Just for clarification, which tier are you looking at bringing that into? There's tier one, tier two.
I think that you're looking at probably the May, August for Riverside County. And I think that for the Orange County area, there's no reason why you can't bring it into tier one or tier two. I mean, both of them. But Tier 1, because it's year-round travel for them.
Okay. I think the markets are concise and to the point. We could make the addition, as Member Beeman says.
I would ask after we have money to do that.
Do we have money to do so, and is there any analysis to support that is worth pushing into? If we market more in one area, we're going to have to market less in another or increase the advertising budget.
We have done some in Orange County, especially on a PR standpoint. We don't see a lot from the consistently in the analytics and the data from the Palm Springs area. And I think, Jane, is that's the Riverside County, correct? We see a lot of competition with Palm Springs because there are destinations that are, and I'm not discounting what you're saying, Jane. We just have a lot of competition where there's destinations like Morro Bay that are closer to them. And so we can definitely do a test market. That there's no reason why that cannot be addressed in doing some testing in those areas with mental marketing. So we could do a test and then look at and reevaluate to see if we're seeing a lot more travel and a lot more impact and ROI from those areas. So we can definitely look at that and being kind of in a tier two market and doing some testing with that.
You know, the other thing about mental marketing, they have actually a lot of knowledge about that area because they've handled it, I think, for Indian Wells. They're very familiar with the desert.
You know, one of the things that, you know, it's actually very intriguing in looking at the Riverside market is that we find that we have stronger stickiness in markets that are not like us. And so those that are more desert-like and the semi-arid, we do see a lot more, opportunity. Because when you're looking at Vegas and when you're looking at Texas and when you're looking at Phoenix, those are more desert and more semi-arid. They aren't by the ocean, so there are some opportunities specific to that. I think one of the concerns that I would have is more with Orange County, because I know that there's a lot of competition to try to gain that market. So, I mean, perhaps, again, we could do some testing to see and to task the task mental marketing to do some tests in those markets and then come back and reevaluate. So there is that opportunity.
And additionally, we have the pending joint venture with Visit San Luis Obispo County.
Correct.
All that
correct.
Market research, mm-hmm. we may be able to drill down to that data
exactly.
and determine
yep.
if these markets are worth expanding into or not.
And that information will be gaining in the month of April.
Yeah.
So it will be really at a great time to be able to get that data, to look at that data. I think what's really interesting, and I know that, Michelle, you're looking time-wise, it's very interesting when we're looking at these markets because there's a lot of evaluation of the data that we currently have, but also there's some shared data with hoteliers, restaurants, retail, and attractions. And I think when we're looking at the Tier 2 markets, here's where it's really coming into play, where Sacramento and Phoenix and Reno and Vegas, and especially the Texas markets.
Yeah.
It was very interesting to look at and evaluate that data and having that informal information from restaurants, retail, and attractions that they were pointing at those same things. And so when we're looking at those Tier 2 markets, these are really kind of the test markets for us. And so I think when Member Beeman is talking about Orange County and Riverside, I would really feel more comfortable bringing in the Tier 2 markets and seeing where those patterns are actually happening. You know, she has indicated that the travel is actually happening year-round. If that is the case, we could actually funnel one of those markets into the Tier 1 market because when we look at San Diego, we don't see spikes. San Diego is a consistent market that comes to this destination throughout the year. When we're looking at LA, Central Valley, San Francisco, and San Jose, we see a behavioral pattern with those specific markets. San Diego is really kind of the, I don't want to say flat line, but it stays consistent throughout the year. So, I mean, it's very interesting to look at all of these different markets, but the big key is that even though that we see San Francisco on you know, in the Tier 1. We do see a lot of travel from that, but we also see a lot of competition for that, too. San Francisco is very much like Morro Bay. It's not dissimilar from Morro Bay, because they are a bay, but they are coming here for different reasons, and I think a big point that member Newton had talked about really ties into, we do see a lot of people from the Bay Area coming here for events, and so it's key for us to focus in on those markets when we are having those events that are happening throughout the year.
I think we forget, too, because we're halfway between L.A. and San Francisco, and we get a ton of people that travel from L.A. to San Francisco back and forth. So I think and then Sacramento being a hub, too, people come down the coast. So. Okay, so any Taylor, sorry, I forgot. Sorry. Go for it.
I have a small one. The business that I work for, the Guerrilla Gardening Club, we look at metrics from homelessness in relation to tourism. Tourist destinations oftentimes are also homeless destinations. And one of the things we've been noticing is the increase in Colorado and Denver. There's been some great data out there. It's related to the legalization of marijuana out there, and with the possible legalization of marijuana recreationally in California, Denver, Colorado is a huge market for us. And we see a lot of people that are interested in outdoor life and recreation from there. And I don't see any Colorado up there. And we have so many contacts and so many fans in Colorado, especially Denver. Many of our club members, that's a spot that they frequent in their travels. And my question is, you know, why not Colorado? Why not Denver? I've seen huge increases in so much of the metrics that we look at.
And let me address that for you, because this has actually been a discussion with Visit San Luis Obispo County, because they are looking at Colorado as being a potential market. It really boils down to, how does somebody from Colorado get here? The number of flights actually coming into San Luis Obispo is very limited, but they are looking actually at increasing that. So I think as we're looking at, it's really about the patterns and how people are actually coming in to travel here. I will tell you that Colorado is a very expensive market to market in, because we even see that with the LA and the San Francisco market. We're barely even tapping the surface. So by kind of diluting a little bit of the different tiers, that's why we actually have the Tier 2 markets being very seasonal. I would like to make a recommendation, because member Newton, I definitely am listening to what you're talking about. What I'd really love to see happen is that I'd love to see that happen more on a county, for them to do some testing in the Colorado market and seeing how, if there's an impact that's actually happening on a county basis, and then re-evaluating and looking in that for future. It's very difficult, because when we are looking at the overall budget, I'd love to market everywhere, but unfortunately we just really don't have the budget to be able to support that. Because if we start diluting it too much, then we're not probably making the impact that we need to make, because we need to have that repetition and we need to be constantly in front of these markets on a regular basis. And if we are very part-time with Denver, I don't know if we're going to see that impact and the return on investment. Does that make sense?
It does. And the only other thing I didn't say was that part of the reason we look at Denver a lot from my business point of view is that we have the millennials. It's huge. And, I just wanted to point that out.
And I do want to address this, too, because one of the really important things, because you brought up Saver, they are looking at bringing putting Saver on the road. And I think it's really a great idea that actually came out of the marketing committee. It definitely is adopted by staff to try to make that impact in other areas and other destinations, because they are looking at those food and wine events. And I think one could really be great, and this is a recommendation that Morro Bay is going to make. Denver has some really phenomenal international food and wine events that I think that if they are taking Saver on the road, that is a recommendation that we can make. I think it's also, again, I want to align in saying that we do, Morro Bay would have an opportunity to be able to support Saver on the road. And so I think that's something that if they do decide that, you know, if we do make the recommendation that Denver is a location for one of those events, that perhaps that we can do some testing with that too. So I never ever want to say a no, and it's sometimes also modifying and saying we can test it in a lot of different ways. And so ultimately, this can be a discussion too, that if we do want to do a little bit of testing, especially in the social media area, we can definitely take and look at and evaluate. Currently, right now, we don't have a lot from the Colorado area, but we aren't doing a lot of focus in that. My concern is I always look at what those travel patterns are going to be, and people from Denver would right now would have to fly from Denver into LA or San Francisco or San Jose, but even Fresno, because there is a direct connect between Fresno and Denver through Alaska Air. So, I mean, it's really just a matter of, can we also look at future partnerships? Because right now we're really doing, I'm very, very excited about this partnership and doing the partnership with Yosemite, and we're doing that leisure package where it's a Yosemite Morro Bay. I think one of the things that I'm going to be making a recommendation to visit San Luis Obispo County is in developing more of a relationship with the Fresno International Airport, because I think that's a missed opportunity. I think it's also a missed opportunity with the Bakersfield Airport as well. So there can be a direct connect, but it's really not happening at this point in time. But I think that there's real good potential for the future. So
I would just love to see some research on that.
You know what else you could do is also, when you research with mental marketing, to expand into with the tiers into the various areas, Colorado, Riverside, you could forget Orange County, but what would that cost? Therefore, it's a need for growth, and therefore, maybe that would entice another BID.
Well, and to Jane, I think what's really key that, you know, coming out of your point too, is that we always have an opportunity on a PR standpoint. And if we look at what on a PR standpoint, we did have OC, we had a blogger actually from Orange County that came in and that did a cover story on Morro Bay. We didn't really see quite the return that we wanted on that, but that's not to say that we couldn't focus in on a PR standpoint. And so there's always opportunities to build and to test these markets, maybe not on a marketing standpoint, but we could also look at it on a PR standpoint. Because we actually have had some PR and media that have come from the Denver market, especially when it came... and I'm drawing a blank at the actual magazine, but it was really more of an outdoor magazine that he did a cover story on Morro Bay. So it really focused in on the hiking, biking, kayaking, kind of that end of that. So again, there's always opportunities on a PR standpoint to be able to like tap into these markets where we're not making a large investment. It's really it's kind of testing that investment in the PR end.
Okay, so I'm looking for a motion to recommend the 2016-2017 market tiers with adding potentially the Tier 2 market of the Orange County, Riverside, Palm Springs that Jane brought up, and then maybe doing a little PR testing in the Colorado area, not actually dollar amounts, but more of a PR aspect. Do I have a motion?
I would like to make a motion. to approve the 2016-2017 market tiers as established on here, looking at some of the Southern California regions, as Member Beeman mentioned, and possibly taking a look into the Denver region as well. And, of course, some of the research we'll get back from the Visit Slo County synergy and partnership there will give us more data. And it could be some good stuff as part of that.
And we'll be happy to add those.
Can I have a second?
I was going to say, do I have a second?
A second.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries 4-0. Okay, we're doing good, guys. We're going to now move on to declaration of future agenda items.
Madam Chair, I do have a list of those. I did establish some of the lists based off of the some of the public comment. Bringing back the event sponsorship specific to the Morro Bay Car Show. The Maritime Museum, we do want to add that onto the next agenda item. Member Beeman had discussed each board member to take 3 to 5 hotels and motels, so I think that's going to be a discussion too. Those were the items that I had on the agenda up to this point.
I'd also like to see the county TMD come out, whether it be a representative or the actual county. I just like, I know as a stakeholder paying into the 1%, I'd like an update on where we're at from them.
I do have a question on that. Would you like them to, because we were actually going to be reaching out to them on including them in on the stakeholder meeting. And so if you would like to maybe not have it on a specific, like on the March one, since it's going to be April, would that suffice as
that
far as
that? Would actually
that?
Be great, because okay. I think the stakeholders are really the ones that are asking.
Right.
I'm getting a lot of questions. What are they doing?
And I do want to remind, too, that Val Seymour is actually the Morro Bay liaison, so if there are questions specific with stakeholders, that she is available to answer any questions. I'm on the marketing committee, and so a lot of the footwork actually happens on the marketing committee end. Those recommendations typically will go to the full board and the executive board. So if there are any questions for stakeholders there, you definitely can reach out and ask.
One of the things that the hotels I've talked to want to see is when the county was first starting, they gave us a round pie, and they showed us what money was being used for where. And they had a projection of how much money total. And so what they want to see is a comparison pie from what they propose to what the use has been now.
It's, Member Beeman, it's actually a lot more specific because now that the TMD is actually in existence, basically the pie or the breakdown was very general. And so they are a Brown Act. They are a Brown Act committee, so actually all of that information is public. So if they do want to make, if there is a request, they can definitely contact Visit San Luis Obispo County. They will provide that, but now that they have a budget and there's a revenue stream going into play, what they did is they took that pie and now it's more specific. They have a budget plan and a work plan and how that money is actually divided and what it's being used for. So it is more specific, and so I think it is really important that at the stakeholder meeting they're going to be able to present that. But at any time, Morro Bay stakeholders can definitely reach out to Val Seymour or they can reach out directly to Visit San Luis Obispo County.
Okay, so for the meeting, are they going to have the pie, the new pie?
We can definitely request that as far as like what the budget is for the 16-17 season. What I'm really excited about is that they're hiring a firm to put together a 3 to 5 year strategic plan. So I mean, ultimately, with that 3 to 5 years, will be what they're looking at, how they're going to be growing revenue and what those dollars are going to be used for, et cetera. So ultimately, a lot of things are actually happening as we speak because the research is happening currently. At the same time, they're looking at doing the strategic plan. And so prior to the next fiscal year, there's going to be a lot of really great information that Visit San Luis Obispo County is going to be able to present.
Could we put a link to their website on ours?
There is. So if you go at the footer of morrobay.org, there is a direct link to Visit San Luis Obispo County. But they're always open. If a stakeholder does need to call, number is 541-8000. It's a very easy number to remember. They're always available. They have great staff that would be willing to share that information. There's also a meeting regularly with the city of Morro Bay to make sure that, you know, the city is also looking at the investment with that as well. So it's just it's very, very important and key that we're keeping all of that constant communication flowing. But there's definite benefit with the TMD that they brought to the city of Morro Bay.
And the other thing that we wanted to put on there was a discussion about Jackrabbit and Booking.com.
Yes,
on the agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We will add that as a future agenda item, so thank you.
I have a question. On the event situation, are we going to then get away from the grant forms? I know Ken specifically asked about that. I don't know.
I think in this interim time, I think what would be really beneficial is to ask events to come and make a
okay.
request.
Which
because
we
currently
do.
We do have 10,000 left in community grant support in the budget.
Okay.
And so we do have funds available from now until the end of the fiscal year.
Okay.
I think it would be very difficult to figure out that matching grant and to have people apply and then to have it go through the process to come to this advisory body, because it's really essentially it's too late.
Yeah.
So I think,
no, and that's why I'm
I
just
think
curious, because they're asking. We're
yeah.
getting a lot of.
I think the events that are happening from now through the end of June. I'm actually suggesting for these entities to come and make a financial ask.
Okay. Perfect.
Contact me. Make sure that we get it on the agenda. I am going to be reaching out to some of the other events that it might be getting a little bit close to, that if they do want to be agendized for next month, that would be the time for them
Perfect.
To do the financial ask. And that way this advisory body can have a discussion.
Okay. I just want to make sure that they don't get lost in
right.
the shuffle.
Right, exactly.
I had one thing to add. I didn't hear you mention the Kite Festival, and I think he made a great point of needing assistance. And I don't want to see the Kite Festival get in the situation that the 4th of July got in, where all of a sudden there's no more committee, and we're, what do? And we got 3 months to do it. The Kite Festival's been, this is his 10th year, as he said, and it's funding as well as direction. So I definitely think we need to have that on as a topic of discussion.
Well, one of the things is that what we can do is we can bring that back to the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Board, and we can have a very short and brief meeting, because the Kite Festival ultimately needs funding prior to the next meeting. So I will be reaching out to the Morro Bay Tourism Bureau Board to bring that back, and we could perhaps have a very short and special meeting resulting in that, because it's really going to come out of the Bureau funding. So.
Okay. Any future agenda items? Any further future agenda items? Seeing none. Okay. I think we're adjourned. For the record, it's 11:11.